Thank you, Mr. Dunkel. Good evening, everyone. For those who don't want to make the wine and cheese over there, you can't afford it, there'll be beer and pizza in Frank's room. 3607. And don't bring any beer. It is a wonderful blessing being here at the winter weekend. My wife and I were having a discussion. We think this is the 18th or 19th time. We can't remember. Can I have a show of hands? Who's been here the whole time? Wow. So I see my friend Alan Dance back there. He thought we had been here the whole time, and my wife broke it to him last year that we missed 1 year. He was heartbroken. But, you know, it's a fantastic time this winter weekend. We started here in Cincinnati across the road at the Kings Island Resort. We went down to Lexington for a few years, and then we went over to Louisville. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, we came back here. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful event for all of us. I think we started years ago helping with the preteen basketball when all of our kids were, at the time we had two preteens and a baby. Now we have two young adults and a baby, but William will always be our baby. So. But I used to help with the young preteens playing basketball and, you know, that three-pointer that David Dance makes? I taught him that. Alan will say it's him, but come on. Anyway, this weekend has been a blessing for our family. I know it's been a blessing to a lot of families. And I want us to think, do we realize how awesome events like this are? How awesome God's plan is? How awesome it is to be a part of God's church today? That's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful feeling. You know, we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of excitement the last couple days. A lot of people are out there tired. Some of you are wanting to go to sleep. I promise this won't be more than 3 or 4 hours. You'll be able to go to sleep after that. But you know, why does the church do this winter weekend? Why all the planning? Why do we do this? You know, why are people working night and day to do this? Why does Frank Dunkel hadn't slept in 6 weeks? Why does the church do this? Is it so some old guys can run up and down the court playing basketball? Is it so some old guys or older women can play volleyball? Is it just to escape the Christmas trees and the Christmas lights? Is it so young people can find Mr. Right or Miss Right? Actually, the last part is probably part true. But you know, this is done for you. It's done for the members of God's church, but primarily, and I'm sorry if you're older, this is going to be more for the young people tonight, because this event is primarily for you. It's a time to build relationships with one another. It's a time to build friendships. It's a time to reconnect with people. It's time to spend time with your families. It's a time also to learn. It's a time to grow. It's a time for families to spend time together. It's also to show you, especially you young people, that there are many other people just like you. Not exactly like you, that would be weird. But just like you, in your beliefs, in your morals, in your attitudes, just like you in your understanding that there's a better way of life, a better opportunity, a better life than what the world will offer you. It's a place where there's people like you that understand there is a great plan that God the Father and Jesus Christ have in store for you. You know, as the theme of this weekend states, if you look in your brochure, it is our time now. What does that mean to you? It is our time now. You know, it's our time because God has called us. God is calling you young people to be a part of his church and to a work that needs to be done. God is calling you to be an active part of his church. I don't know if anybody's noticed, it might just be me, but some of the people are getting older in the church. There's age that's happening. It happens to all of us. I didn't always look this good. But you know, it's our time to give back. It's our time to serve. Your time is now. Our time is now to be a part of it. We know this is God's church. We know that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That will never, ever change. We have a council of elders. We have a general council of elders. We have a president, Mr. Kubik, who runs the day-to-day operations of the church. We have a home office that takes care of the church administration. They pay salaries, they take care of the income, with tithes and offerings. We have magazines, we have a telecast, we have a website. These are all good and wonderful things. We have congregations, some with full-time pastors, some with part-time pastors. We have the church. The church, and that's you, and that's me. It's an exciting time to be in the church. The gospel is being preached via the internet, television, magazines, all over the world. It's our time now to be part of that, to be active in that. We still need to be supportive. We need to support the church financially and through prayer. That never goes away. But it's your time now. It's time to be involved. It's time to make the church, your home, the work, your work. And especially you young and younger members, it's time to take the baton and run with it. It's time to be part of something incredibly, fantastically wonderful. It's time, and again, young people, it's time to know what you know and to believe what you know. You're not here by accident. If you would, turn to 1 Peter 2:9. First Peter 2, verse 9. First Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are God's chosen people. You are God's chosen holy people. Turn over to John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give you. God chose you. You young people, God handpicked and chose you. You know, for many of us older members, we were tested. We were severely tested in the 1990s. We'll keep going. We were severely tested in the 1990s by what we believed, by what we know. We were tested, we were challenged by others, we were challenged by our own brethren, we were challenged by our own families. We're challenged in some cases by our own mates. We can. She's okay. Okay. But we were challenged 20 some years ago now by all that was going on in the church. We had to prove who and what we believed. We had to prove, we had to get our noses into the Word of God and ask for His wonderful wisdom. And it's time today for you young people to prove what is good, to prove what is right, to prove that this is the way. We cannot wait, young people, we cannot wait until the next crisis to prove what we know, to prove what you know. Many waited too long, and they were never able to prove it. Your time is now. It is our time now to do what we need to do. Is there something in our lives, as we go through our lives every day, is there something in our lives that we see, that we do, that we need to stop doing? Is there something in our lives that we see that we need to keep doing, or we don't do enough of? You know, we can always say to ourselves, I've got time. I know I need to stop doing this. I know I need to start doing this. I know I need to pray more. I need to study God's word more. I need to attend church more often. I need to talk to my parents occasionally. I need to talk to my children. I need to quit hanging around this person. I need to quit hanging around that person. And then we say, I will. I'll do that after the new year. I'll do it after the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll do it after the winter weekend. Your time is now. Turn with me, if you would, to James. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. If something needs to be done, we need to do it now. We cannot keep doing the same thing. If we have a bad habit, let's pray about it and stop it. If we need to do something, let's pray about it and do it. If we need to do something, let's keep doing it. Let's keep growing. The church needs young, committed leaders. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. Very familiar scripture. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Those are great verses. Moses was speaking to the children of Israel. God is speaking to you. He's telling you, he's asking you, he's begging you, I don't know if he's begging, but he's asking you, to choose life. The church needs young, committed leaders, not leaders that need to be committed. We've been through that. We need young people that are committed to God and His way of life. Committed, not because this is mom and dad's church, or because I want to date or marry this person or that person, but committed because you believe that you are called by God the Father and given to His Son, Jesus Christ, to live a different but wonderful way of life. Our time is now. Your time is now. You know, out in this audience tonight, that young man sitting next to you, he may be a minister someday. He may be a presenter on the Beyond Today program. Don't worry, Steve. You got time. He was going to leave, and you got time. You know that young lady sitting next to him, or sitting next to somebody else? Maybe his wife. You know that there are some young ladies in this audience that are going to write articles for our magazines, for the websites. There's young men and women out here that are going to be heading up overseas projects, doing wonderful things, helping the gospel message be preached to the world. You may head up good works. You may help with life nets. There are young people that will be working at the home office, doing all kinds of great and wonderful things for the church. There may be young people in this audience that will be sent all over the world in different capacities, helping to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are young people that will be pillars in their local churches. There may be future council members out here, a future president of the United Church of God sitting out here, Don. You young people, you are the future. You are our future, and God is directing your life right now. Turn with me to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Another marvelous scripture. God is thinking. The creator of the universe is thinking about you. He's thinking about you and your future. He's thinking about each one of us. He wants to give us a future of peace, a future of hope. Our being a part of this way of life is really, truly amazing. You know, we may think, what can I do? How can I do anything to help God? I can sometimes barely make it through the day myself. I do this, I do that. I can't help. I'm the one that needs help. Turn with me to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God can help us through our past, and we can move forward. We can reach forward. We have a calling. God is calling. The time is now. We have to be like Nike and just do it. We have been called to something incredibly wonderful and special. You know, Ernest Shackleton, a British Antarctic explorer, he placed an ad in the London newspapers way, way back about a venture to the South Pole. It read, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success." Ernest Shackleton. He received hundreds and hundreds of young men that wanted to go on that trip with him. And you know, it could almost be like our calling, a long journey, some trials, but what an ending. Ours could read, men and women wanted for incredible journey, wages already paid, long years of waiting and some trials, but many opportunities and more joy than you can imagine. There will be no return. Honor and recognition by our Heavenly Father and His Son await for all who journey through. You know, we have quite the journey ahead of us, and in our journey, we're going to get there. Ernest Shackleton, they didn't make it. They didn't make it to the South Pole. But we are going to make it. We, young, old, have been called to something wonderful. And this is our time. It's our time to shine. It's our time to be a light in the church and in the dark world. Turn to Matthew 5, please. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14, we'll read through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are told by Jesus Christ to go out and to be a light, to be a shining light. You know, we can't sit at home. We can be a light at home to our families, but we are to go out and be a light to the church and to the world. You know, when we leave this hall, we should be a light. When we go to school, when we go to work, we should be a light. When we go to the grocery store, we should be a light. When we're on the basketball court, we should be a light. On the volleyball court, we should be a light. Unless you're really losing bad, then. No, you should always be a light. We should always be a light. We should always be a light. You know, at the teen dance tomorrow night, we should be a light. And the light should be left on, by the way. But, at the young adults dance, we should be a light. We should always be a light. Turn, please, to John 8. John 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ is the real light. He is that awesome, bright light. When we follow Him, when we walk in His path, we absorb His light, and we become lights to others. The world is in darkness. They cannot see His light. God the Father may draw them to His light, and that is His choice. But we can be another light that they see. If His light, it is His light, but they don't know that it's His light yet. One day, they'll be able to connect with His light. It is our responsibility to be a ray of hope in this dark world. We can be a light to our neighbors. You know, when someone is worried about the state of the world, the state of events, the state of Ohio, the state of Michigan, whatever, when they're worried about all those things, we can be a light because we have a hope within us. We have faith that Jesus Christ will return and restore all things. We have hope. We can let people know that we have hope for what we believe in, and who we believe in. Again, this is our time to shine that light. People need hope. We have that hope. We've been given a view of the future. If you turn with me to 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 3, 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. You know, as darkness pervades this society, we have to keep remembering that hope that we have in our lives. We have to keep remembering why we're here, why we do what we do. We have to remember that God has promised each one of us a fantastic, an awesome, wonderful future. You know, when someone asks you the hope that is within you, tell them. You know the plan. You know what God is doing. Obviously, we don't know God's whole plan, but we do know part of it. We know what He's, you know, part of what He's doing. We have to believe that if we know that He's doing it, it's okay, and it's going to be wonderful. And it will happen. You know, God's plan, you know, we go through that every year at the feast. I mean, every year during the holiday season, we talk about God's plan. We talk about what happened, what's happening now, and we talk about the future. But, you know, God's plan will happen. Jesus Christ will return to this earth. He will banish Satan. He will usher in His kingdom. It will happen. It's not a fairy tale. It's going to happen. And you young people, we have to believe that. We're not just up here talking for the sake of talking. It's in the Bible, and it's going to happen. We have to continue to believe and know that. We can never lose sight of that. You know, in the latest good news, Steve Myers wrote an article about the Sabbath, and he used Hebrews 13:8, where it states, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, talking about the Sabbath. By the way, good article. But, you know, when I think about that verse, it is comforting to know that Jesus Christ does not change. God the Father does not change, and He and the Father are one. God's laws, His truth, they don't change. When we read the Bible and we find the truth, it doesn't change. It does not matter what every other church is doing or saying, God's truth does not change. So we need to put our noses in the Bible, in the Word of God, and prove what we hear, prove what we know, and hold on to that truth. If it is true now, it'll be true tomorrow. You can almost guarantee that. Our time is now. We have a wonderful goal set before us, and we really don't have time to waste. Now, I was talking to somebody, I can't remember, before I came up here, but you know, who thought, I never thought I'd get married. There were physical reasons, you know, but I never thought I would get married and have children and now have grown children. I used to lie in my bed at night years ago and think about the year 2000. I know it's a long time ago. I used to think, that will never happen. God's kingdom will be here by then. But it's 2015. And we're still here. But we know, like I said, it's going to happen. We have an incredible future in store for us. You know, we can get bogged down in this world. We can get bogged down in life. We can get bogged down in our daily struggles, school, careers, family. But we know, and we cannot forget, the glorious future that God has in store for us. It may look dark, but the future is so bright. God has promised you life. It's out there. He's saying, take it. Do you want it? Take it. He wants to give you happiness, joy, peace. He's offering you a world without sorrow, a world without pain, a world without death. He's given us the opportunity to live a full and abundant life right now. There'll be trials. I guarantee there'll be trials. But the future is so much better than any trial. And we know the end. You know, Mr. Armstrong. For those of you who don't know, Mr. Armstrong used to be the leader of the church years ago. Young people, sorry. But he always said, you know, I read this and I can go to the end. You can read it in Revelation. And we win. Our future's right in here. Your future's right in here. We win. This is going to happen. We're going to be there. It's a great time to be a part of God's church. You know, the church has gone through some storms, but you know, we made it through the storms. There's new life, and God is certainly blessing the church. And now when I say the church, I'm talking about you, the people. You are the church. This is not the church of the ministry. It's not the church of the home office. This is God's church, with Jesus Christ being the head, and you are the church. When people see you, when they interact with you, when they talk with you, you're the church. That's who they're talking to. They're talking to the church of God. You represent the church. You represent Jesus Christ. You represent God the Father wherever you go. It could be a little scary, but it should be exciting. That's our future. You know, I've been trying to read like the good news and things like that. You know, there are some great articles in there. I'm not just saying this because Steve's my friend or he paid me. But you know, as I mentioned in the last good news, there was an article about proving the Sabbath. There are articles about the evils in the world. Who and what is the cause of all the evils in the world? There are articles on Christmas. You know, I would encourage you to read that magazine. Well, not the good news, because it's going to be Beyond Today. But when that comes out, read that one. But I encourage you to read that. They're helpful. And I know people saying, but those articles are written for people outside the church. Yeah, maybe they are. But there's some good information in there. And if we have new people coming into the church and they say, oh, I read that article, you kind of want to know what they're talking about, don't you? Well, don't read that. It's for other people. We should be reading those articles. I mean, it takes some of these guys 10 to 12 minutes to write those articles. Maybe longer. But, you know, today in the church, you young people, there are so many tools that you have available. We have a website. You can go on and get every sermon. I mean, there are sermons out there. There are hundreds of sermons out there. You know, sometimes when I speak, I think, boy, this is an original idea. God is inspiring me with this one idea. And I go on, and there's like 47 sermons just like it. But there are messages out there. You can have your favorite speaker. Look him up. Put him down. John Miller right there. Maybe it's his messages. Look him up. You can find out anybody you like out there. Or don't like. But you shouldn't dislike anybody. But there are messages out there for any topic you could think of, pretty much. We have a website. The home office does little snapshots and things like that all the time. They do this for 5 minutes, they do this for 10 minutes, but there's a lot of different wonderful, awesome things on there. And I don't think we as a church, as members, take advantage of that. You know, we have the Beyond Today. They put hours into that. You know, we should be gleaning that, learning that, reading about that kind of stuff. And young people, this is all for you. It's all for everyone else, but it's for you to learn and to hear. Please turn with me to Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It's saying right there that time is short. I know for some of us this has been going on a long time, but I'm telling you, time is still short. We have to think that way. And we as a church and as a congregation, as a family, and as an individual, we need to be aware of that, that Jesus Christ will be coming soon. You know, I've heard people have said, well, I wish the church would do this or do that, or I wish we would work with this charity group or that charity group, or I wish we would help over here. No one is stopping you. You know, I've had people tell me that before. I said, but just go. If you want to serve, serve. The church doesn't say, well, please don't serve them. If you want to help, do things. But there's also a lot of people in the church that need help, that need service. We need to help and find our ways to help. God has handpicked you and me to be part of something incredibly special. We should be bubbling over with enthusiasm. You know, I see, you know, when somebody wins a, takes the winning shot or hits the winning spike, there's people cheering and stuff. I don't mean should we be, you know, do that every week at church, but we, you know, the enthusiasm and the bubbling, we should be excited about what we know and what we believe and who we are. Our hearts should be full of joy. We should be bursting with gratitude for the blessing of being a part of this wonderful way of life. We should be excited about being a part of the church and the future. Part of what we're doing, we're helping people understand God's way of life. You know, our time is now as a church. Our time is now as an individual. We're to be living examples of this way of life. We're to be peacemakers in this dark world. God has given everything to us. He's given everything to us. He gave us his son. We should be so thankful. We should be so encouraged and be living examples. Again, our time is now. The world does not know God, but we do. He's our father. He's our dad. And we love him. And he loves us. Turn with me to 1 John 3, please. 1 John 3. First John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We are the children of God. Again, we don't know what our what our future entails, but we know, as it says there, we're going to be like him. We're going to be pure as he is pure. And that is awesome. That's a wonderful future. That's a wonderful hope for each one of us. You know, let's make this way of life our own. Let's get excited about what God is doing in our lives and get excited about what he's doing in the lives of others. People who have just don't know anything about life. Their lives are terrible. And God is helping them and changing them. You know, we got to get charged up, moving. You know, I ran across something for a sales kickoff meeting. I'm in sales. But for a sales kickoff meeting, and it can apply to us today, and I revised it a bit. But it says, you know, it's time for you to have the greatest 2016 possible. And we'll take it one year at a time. Time for you to break out. It's time for you to unleash your full potential. You know you want to, and you can do it. What's most important in achieving what you or God wants? What's going to determine if you do things you can only dream about, or if you will continue on the same path and level you are right now? It's you. It's only you. You control where you're going to be a year from now. Right now, you have a choice. You know, I've said this in Columbus many times, and I say this at the feast or after the feast. Every year, people make a choice. I don't want to do this anymore. They may not consciously say that, but they do. I don't want to go to the feast anymore. I don't want to keep the Sabbath anymore. I don't want to come to the family weekend anymore. They make that choice. It's a bad choice. There's life. There's good. There's good. This continues. You control where you will be a year from now. Right now, you have a choice. Will you decide to do what it takes to get where you want to be? Or are you completely satisfied with where you are at this moment? Some will choose to be amazing in 2016. Some will choose to stay the same in 2016. We have to choose amazing. We can do our part to be a shining light in this world and to be a shining light in the church. The world desperately needs your light, young people. It needs your light. It needs hope. And the church needs your light. The church needs your help. The church needs those who want to rise and shine and serve. You can choose to be amazing. You can choose to shine. Our time is now.